What's up, guys? I'm Sky, the producer of the Toasty Podcast. Before we get started today, I just want to let you guys know the podcast is under construction. With that said, the last few episodes, and maybe this one as well, the audio is not so great. And I'm sorry about that, but we are getting better, and that's the reason it's under construction. I'm working on some different tech things as far as using different equipment, using different software, and things like that to make our show better at the end of it all. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I hope you guys are along for the ride. I appreciate all the loyal fans so far, and I hope we can still grow and keep going and keep getting more loyal listeners. With that said, share the show if you like what you hear. Let's get into it. This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty. A leaked testimony from Haiti suspects says plan was to arrest, not kill the president. Interesting stuff we've got today, guys. And as always, I'm here, your host, Sky.
I'm Maddie B.
Maddie B is here, co-host. And we also have a special guest today.
Don Bricker.
All right, Don. So what's up, man? What do you do?
I'm the chief technical officer for a financial services company.
Okay. So wow.
I'm in charge of all the technology.
And you're like one of the executives then,
yes.
Right?
In the C-suite, whatever that really means anymore.
That's awesome, though. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, so it's a small company. We've got about 100 employees, but it's a fun job.
Nice.
Keeps me moving.
Yeah. What got you into that?
What got me into technology?
Like the whole, that job specifically. Like it sounds like something you worked for a while.
Well, actually it wasn't. Mostly got there by accident.
Yeah.
So I got my master's and was working on my doctorate in chemistry.
Right.
And decided I didn't want to be a chemist. So I was working for some other companies at the time trying to figure out what I really wanted to be when I grew up.
Right.
And back in those days, you didn't have computer programs. You had to write all your own software.
Right.
So I had written some statistical analysis software to analyze the data that I was collecting when I was working on my doctorate in chemistry. And some guys saw what I had done and decided, hey, would you like to come work for us? And it was a hospital. And so I wrote some software for the hospital. And the guy at the hospital, the president of the company's hospital, said, I have a friend who wants to start a new company, software company, doing medical management software. Would you be interested in joining his company? And I said, sure. So at that time, I joined him, and he and I were writing software for helping physicians capture Medicare billing. And back then, it was nobody was doing that.
Right.
Everything was done by hand.
Yes. I'm sure some things got left to the wayside.
Yeah.
This probably missed a lot, too.
What, in the mid-'80s?
Mid-'80s, yeah.
Okay.
Mid-'80s. He and I started this partnership, and I got into the software business from that, and just kind of by accident moved around a little bit and moved from Lubbock to Minneapolis to Fort Worth to Houston, back to Fort Worth, and got where I am.
So now you're still in Fort Worth?
I'm still in Fort Worth.
Heck
yeah.
Fort Worth for the win right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Holy cow, man.
So full disclosure, we are related. This is my dad, so not everyone knows.
Yep.
Yes, for sure. So,
and this is my son. I guess it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah,
right?
Man, wow.
Yeah. Stunning admission.
Holy cow. So yeah, guys, a leaked testimony from Haiti.
Yeah.
Suspects. They say that it was to arrest and not kill the president. But what we're trying to figure out now is, then what was the, why were they arresting him and what was the whole goal here?
Yeah, why were they trying to kidnap him?
Yeah, what's the whole point here?
And I feel like this might be just a cover-up,
money,
but I'm not sure.
Maybe they were trying to do like a bloodless regime change. And right. Just make it like, now we're kidnapping you, you're no longer president. You can either be exiled or sent to prison, and I'm going to be in charge. You know, military coup, maybe.
Yeah. NPR has this to say. Their article starts off with, the widow of late Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, is that maybe how you pronounce it, I would say, says his enemies orchestrated his assassination but did not give names. Meanwhile, the country's interim government has asked the U.S. for help, and Biden actually rebuffed that, and he's not going to help them. I saw on another like news source, but I'm not sure if that's...
Did he give a reason as to why he wouldn't help?
I didn't read the whole article, unfortunately. It was a ground news headline, and I was like, interesting.
Huh.
Wow. It just said he rebuffed the request.
That is interesting. I wonder...
And they said the request was from the troops, which I guess the troops would be the interim government.
He probably just doesn't know who to trust.
Biden?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, right? Hey, Biden doesn't know who to trust?
Haiti, wait. Which one is that? That's in Africa right now.
Yeah, right. It goes on to say, in Haiti, there are still many questions surrounding the assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse. Government officials in Port-au-Prince have asked the Biden administration for help, both military and investigative. More than a dozen Colombians have been detained in connection with the murder and have been described as being part of the hit squad that killed the president, though we have not yet been presented with the proof. And infighting over who will actually lead the country is depending while gang violence continues.
Hmm.
That sounds like a headline for America. All of our protests when we're having the election.
Yeah.
Gang violence.
I mean, it happens
tribalism.
In other countries too. It
does.
Hasn't happened in America that much, you know, when compared to like other more volatile countries.
Right.
Third world countries like Haiti.
Hmm. They had like an interview with a guy named Otis from Bolivia. That's pretty cool. Anyway, guys, that's pretty much the story there, but I don't know. We're basically just waiting for that all that to unfold. We know he was assassinated. We don't know why yet.
That's really like the biggest news of the week.
It probably is.
I mean, probably the biggest news of the month, really. Assassination of our president in the Western Hemisphere. It doesn't happen very often, so.
But I feel like we glossed over it, you know?
We just don't know that much about it yet. It's such a recent event.
It is interesting, though, that the majority of these who were involved seem to be Colombian.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, Colombians are the best. You know it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Were they helping? They were helping with JFK, weren't they? Is that, didn't we say that in our JFK episode?
Cubans.
Oh, they're probably Cubans. Okay, Cubans. Yeah. Right, not Colombians.
Yeah.
They're pretty good at it, too, though.
So, Dad, I've got some interesting questions for you. Just real quick off the top of my head, do you think JFK was killed by a lone gunman?
Yes.
And do you think that lone gunman was... So you said yes.
Yes.
Do you think that lone gunman was Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So...
Did you already know that? Did you already know?
I wasn't 100% sure.
You
said, that's what I thought.
You, like, come across
say.
Like, this is it. Like, you're looking at me like...
So I have read numerous accounts of why Lee Harvey Oswald could not have been the lone gunman.
Uh-huh.
I've not seen anything that would give me definitive reasons for him not to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest reason is the Makarov gun that he used takes more than 1.5 seconds to bolt a new... Well, an expert could do it in 1.5 seconds. We don't know how much he practiced before doing that.
Well, the FBI was watching him a lot prior to the assassination, and they said he was practicing a lot.
Yeah. So you practice a lot, you get...
So. It's plausible.
Okay, but
it gets muscle memory in there, and you can do that.
The thing is, though, like you. So, if he is a lone gunman, then couldn't he have been hired? Do you think that?
Oh, could he have been hired? Absolutely.
Like, what if our government conspired to hire this guy or make him do it or something somehow? You know,
the CIA probably.
CIA was like, hey,
could have influenced him.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't push anything past Lyndon Johnson.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's juicy. What about McAfee, man?
I was
totally
going to say
the
McAfee
last,
and
the last episode, we do a Facebook segment every episode.
Yeah.
The last one I asked, basically I just go on Facebook and I ask simple questions or whatever it is, depending on what we're going to be talking about that week. And I just asked if they thought McAfee killed himself, basically. And we tally it up and we go through it all, whatever. It's a fun thing.
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't seen evidence one way or the other.
You haven't seen evidence one way or the other,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
So I
it's all well. Really, it is all speculation. The whole thing about it is that it's speculation. My problem with that is that most things that, you know, you'll see that if it, let's just pretend that it really was a cover-up and he was murdered or whatever, you know, it will all be speculation right. for 30-plus years or right. however long it is right. until they really want to release the evidence, right? So I hate that. It sucks. Because, yeah, obviously all we're going to be doing is
and
speculation.
If it, in the case of McAfee, it's like, who knows when Spain's going to release the evidence. I mean, all they released the autopsy results, and but there could be other things.
Well, and by definition, if somebody's committing suicide, they're not right in their own head. So we don't know what was going on in his mind that would give him reason to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Right. We just know he was kind of a con man, in my opinion.
Yeah. There, well, right. yeah. There's plenty of evidence for that.
Right.
What about Epstein? Yeah. Do you feel like he killed himself?
No way.
No.
No way.
See, so I lean that way too. Like Matt was saying last podcast we did, he said, you know, he believes both of them killed themselves. And I'm like, well, I think Epstein had a lot of things more than McAfee did for not killing himself. Like he had a lot, he actually had a lot of evidence behind all the stuff
yeah.
to keep to himself and all that. McAfee said he did, but I really don't think he did. How would he have any information? I know Epstein had a lot of ties.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
He's got a lot of dirt on a lot of people.
Right. Right. But he's saying that you never know in that situation what someone's going to do. And you're right, you don't.
Right.
But I think, and he already wasn't right in his head because
yeah.
of the things he did.
Right.
So it's like,
I think someone paid those who were watching him to essentially allow him to kill himself. I think that was Epstein's plan. I don't think Epstein ever thought he was going to go see the light of day again. They were going to get him on child trafficking. So.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that with McAfee too, right? Like, oh, he had nothing going for himself anymore, right?
Yeah, he was basically broke and couldn't really fight it, wasn't really going to get good lawyers, that kind of thing.
Right, 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 right.
So, I think they just saw, I think they both just were rich, super rich guys that
yeah.
saw the walls closing in and said, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in prison.
Right.
Well, especially child traffickers. They don't do well in prison.
Yeah, exactly. So. Epstein would have... Yeah, he would have been in some pain. For
hey,
sure.
John, can you move that mic a little bit closer to your face?
Yep.
Just a little bit. You don't have to be... You can extend it out if you want.
That's
you
right.
want to sit.
That
works, yeah.
Okay.
I know you turn your head, you know, and that's good.
Yep.
But I don't want to miss the sound that's on.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, we had a tally. It was for McAfee to kill himself. Four people said yes, and I think it was, 17 said no.
So most people were like, oh, he definitely didn't kill himself. But I think it's because they're already under this, like, notion since
yeah.
Epstein happened that, oh, well, maybe they don't kill himself in prison, you know? That kind of thing. Anyway, speaking of that tally, guys, on the last Facebook comments, I have a couple of winners for these T-shirts for you guys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Free swag.
Free swag, guys.
Can I get a t-shirt for being a guest star?
Yeah, you will.
Actually, yes.
Okay. I've got
two
people.
That's your payment for the episode.
Right? Well, technically, I guess I have three people, but the third person already knows who they are, and I just kind of chose them. We're like, hey, you need a shirt anyway, because they're going to represent. It's Brian. We had him on the show, right? He needs one anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get t-shirts, Brian.
No, never, right? So Zachary Ferris and Dave Sign. And if you guys are listening to the show right now,
congratulations,
please, congratulations, you get free swag. Tell me if you want a hoodie or a t-shirt. Please message me on Facebook or DM the show on Instagram, toasty.podcast, and we'll get that right out to you.
Do you care if I move this?
You can. You
okay.
can move that.
I'm facing this way. I just don't people
so if you, here, I'll unlock it real quick for you.
Yeah. How does it know where I am? That's over here.
Yeah, face tracking, dude. Face tracking, even in our little technology like that, bro.
Wow.
And you think the NSA doesn't watch every move?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they've got facial recognition.
Yeah.
So, okay, hey, here we go. Since you mentioned the NSA, no, my next question for my dad is...
dude, that's hilarious.
The NSA spying on Tucker Carlson. Did you hear about this?
I've heard about it. I've started to read a couple of articles about the evidence that Tucker presented. I did not finish the articles. excuse me. There does seem to be significant evidence that they were definitely spying on him, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there is, dude.
I think
it's gotta be, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. He may not have been the target, quote unquote, but they were definitely collecting his
information.
Texts and
yeah.
emails.
Yeah. That's the question I should have asked. This week's question was, where do you get most of your news?
Oh. Are you asking me?
I'm asking you guys.
So
yeah.
I do Daily Wire, a little bit of Fox News with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And then Ground News as well. I do look at that from time to time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
What about you?
Epic Times, Daily Wire, and Blaze.
Blaze. Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah, later on at the end of the show, we'll go into like the actual comments of the Facebook, and we'll have the Facebook comment section or whatever. You guys need to stay tuned for that. Yeah. And if you're listening for the first time, please hit that share button, hit that subscribe button. Let's get freaking toasty, man.
Gotta hit the like button too, right?
Hit the like button, whatever. The biggest one though, guys, is share. And if you don't share the show, we don't grow. That's a simple answer, right? We gotta grow this loyal audience that really wants, basically all the independent thinkers of the world need to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
For sure.
That is true. Our audience is pretty loyal.
And I'm sorry, guys. It's kind of a slow news week, if I do say so myself. There are a few things going on, of course, like there always are, like the Haitian president being assassinated. Uh-huh. But aside from that, there's not a ton happening. So, it's not like last week, you know, Britney Spears and Bill Cosby.
So what do you think about this China-India border crisis that's starting to flare up?
Ooh.
Tell us about that. Hold on. First of all, tell us about it, but I think I know where you're going to go with it. But also, there's some other interesting stuff going on over there, too.
Yeah, so... There's a border dispute between India and China. I don't know why either one of them care about the, because it's nothing but rock. But,
yeah, right.
You know, this is still...
It's a symbolic thing.
And I don't know that I would appreciate the Canadians coming across and taking the angle from Minnesota, even though there's nothing there but swamp. It's still U.S. territory, so I can understand.
Oh, Canada would get wrecked so fast.
But China is now apparently... sending an additional 50,000 troops to that border crisis.
Yes. I also heard...
I got to say is I would go for India, obviously.
Of course, but a few weeks ago also China sent... there was like 28 warplanes or something like that. Yeah. War jets flying through Taiwan or something through Taiwan. Like, what are they doing there, you know? And it's like, interesting. Then I also heard, I didn't research this very much at all, that we were moving troops to Taiwan as well. Not sure, though.
I haven't heard troops. I know that we're ready to dispatch another aircraft carrier group there.
Okay, there you go. And then just this week too. So maybe there is some news this week. Dang. This week, Biden actually announced that August 31st is the end of the war in Afghanistan. That comes before his deadline of September 11th.
For now.
For now, right?
Yeah, exactly. $10 says we'll be back.
Only $10, dude? Really?
$1,000.
Okay.
Any amount of money says that we will be back. Because the fact that we left Bagram Air Force Base is just such a dumb strategic move. We should have just stayed and just kept a, you know, 10,000 troop base.
Right.
And just not gotten involved in any conflicts, really, which I know is kind of hard to do, but at least it keeps the Taliban from taking over completely again.
So, sorry to deter this. I'm steering this in a different direction here because you're in the medical field, kind of.
Used to be, not anymore.
Are you retired or you're just not in the
financial services now?
Right, okay. So, since you used to be, I guess it still works. I mean, how much you can? So you can talk about all the COVID stuff if you want to.
Sure.
You're not affiliated with a hospital or anything, right?
No, yeah, COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. But so recently, I've been looking at some of the drugs being like basically banned or taken off or made harder to get by the FDA. And I really want to say it's probably because of greed or whatever, but they're being taken off and they're very effective against COVID. It's interesting to me. It becomes very effective for COVID. They're figuring it out, and then all of a sudden FDA is like, next to that. It's happened with NAC, which was a drug, a supplement, not even a drug. It was a supplement like you'd get at a, like you know you see it was
like
vitamin GNC. D. Yeah, Nature's Best or whatever, vitamin D or whatever it is, like GNC, anywhere like that. And it was NAC, right? And it was for your liver, apparently. Apparently, it works pretty great against COVID, like as far as like helping you get through it or whatever. And they got rid of that. It's like, okay, we're going to make this a drug and you can't get it off the shelf. So now it's a behind-the-counter thing.
So they declared it a drug?
They finally declared it a drug. Now, this thing has been on the shelf for 53 years, literally.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Next thing you know, ivermectin is one of these drugs as well.
Yeah.
Ivermectin's for parasites. That's what it's made for. But Brett Weinstein came on Joe Rogan as an emergency podcast because his YouTube literally banned his channel.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about ivermectin. And right after that happened, he goes on Joe Rogan and Joe Rogan's like, so you wanted to have an emergency podcast, what do you want to talk about? Like, they didn't even plan this, they just need to talk.
Yeah.
Because
Joe Rogan has a contract.
I need to get the word out.
Yeah, Joe Rogan has a contract with Spotify. Joe Rogan can say whatever he wants. He's not going to get banned because he has a freaking contract. I think it's smart, honestly. But whatever. He talks about how ivermectin's amazing and works great. And there's so many effective. And he gives you tons of examples. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about how he's like really good friends with the guy that created mRNA.
Yeah.
And the guy said, yeah, you're right. This is amazing. Oh, but no one's going to hear that. No one wants to talk about that. So it's interesting to me that this is happening. I'm going to pin it all on greed, because normally you can follow money and it ends up being money, the prime reason, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And he should know, right? So he's but I don't know where is it for money, because you know the vaccine didn't cost anything. So is it from the government?
Sure.
You
so think about from a supply and demand perspective. If I now regulate this drug and say you can't make as much as you used to, then I can charge significantly more for it. It becomes a supply and demand issue.
That's true. Yeah, that's
right?
True. It does. It does.
So,
but do you think it has anything to do with them trying to push the vaccine more? Because if there's a drug out there that does it, then why would I need a vaccine?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Because the vaccine is
the treatments are like that good, where the risks are diminished.
Right.
The time that you're infected or experiencing symptoms is diminished.
Yeah.
And there's better prophylactics out there that are being discovered, like hydroxychloroquine. They want to be like, oh man, we want to get this. What the thing is, why? Why do they? Probably because they pay for so many vaccines, and they're like, oh crap,
we got to use them, right?
We got to pay big pharma to produce all these vaccines. And
now Moderna is it Moderna? Pfizer actually is looking for approval for the next booster shot for Delta variant. Approval from the government.
Yeah.
Why? Do you want to get paid more?
Yep.
So basically what they're doing is going and asking for money. That's literally what they're doing. How the heck, man? That's crazy.
We need another $30 billion because the flu this season is a totally different strain. Gimme.
So on the drug thing, not to mention hydroxychloroquine, that was a huge deal, right? That was the first one that came up.
First one.
Everyone freaking out. And now we're on ivermectin, and it's the same scenario. They're getting rid of it the best they can. So we had the same issue whenever AIDS was a big deal. And ACT came out, and Dr. Fauci, specifically Dr. Fauci and his other colleagues, were creating patents for other AIDS drugs, and they took ACT off the shelf, took it off. And so Dallas Buyers Club comes out, obviously later, but Dallas Buyers Club is about that. And Matthew McConaughey, the main character, is playing a guy that had to go to Mexico in real life and get this stuff black market.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy, though. And that puts it into perspective. It's not just COVID. It's like all of these things, they do it all the time. So if they're doing this all the time, what the heck, you know?
Right.
When are we gonna actually get a clue and
get the government out of medicine?
Yeah, but it's all about, in my opinion, it's all about control too.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna tell you what you can and can't have, what you can and can't take, how you're gonna get these drugs. I'm gonna dictate all of that. It's all about control.
Mm-hmm. Right, but no, it's safety, guys. It's all about safety.
Yeah. Safety is the excuse, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Ugh.
Wow.
Brutal. Okay. let's go to cryptocurrency.
Crypto.
This is hilarious. You have like a ton of topics to talk. This is awesome. I love it.
So what do you think? Do you think crypto is the new gold? Do you think it's a new form of just a new mainstream, well, eventually mainstream form of currency, or do you think it's just going to go away?
No, I think eventually it will become a mainstream form of currency. Now, when I say mainstream,
like mid-2030s?
I don't know that it'll be that fast, but maybe. It's possible. Bitcoin is now losing some appeal now that we know that the FBI can track it when theoretically it was not being allowed to be tracked.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's like, it can't be, but
not allowed to be tracked. I shouldn't say allowed, but theoretically, you weren't supposed to be able to track it. Well, they figured out a way to track it. And so Bitcoin has lost significant value because of that, which makes you wonder why people were doing Bitcoin to begin with, but that's another story.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are so many other cryptocurrencies out there now. How do you value one against the other?
Exactly.
And so until there's, in my opinion, until there is a point where you can set a value on these various cryptocurrencies, the value is just a whim.
Well, here's my issue with that. Well, you're right about that, I feel like. But
the US
dollar. But also, what about the US dollar, right? So we're already in a fiat currency state,
absolutely we are. But it's a worldwide fiat. Okay? Until the yuan, the Chinese currency, becomes the worldwide fiat.
Right.
Now, the problem is the United States, getting back off of cryptocurrency and onto
No, it's okay.
Government currency.
Just all currency, all
we're
around.
Gonna, we're gonna segue China off of this. All right, so.
It's not a segue if you tell people everyone. What's going on.
But the U.S. currency, as long as it is a worldwide fiat, the United States government truly does have the ability to just print as much as they want to. The problem will come when, if, it does not become a worldwide fiat currency.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be in trouble because people are going to say, okay, now you owe us $16 trillion. We want it now in Chinese yuan or whatever the new standard is.
And then China manipulates their currency so much they could basically value their...
whatever they want it to.
I mean, think about this. Right. Think about why was gold ever a big deal, right? Because man looked at it and said, wow, this is really shiny. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty.
This is amazing. This is an awesome thing.
Right.
And it's all metal and stuff. And you're like, whoa.
And it's soft.
It's soft.
It doesn't corrode. So it stays. It maintains its luster throughout its life.
So next thing you know, we're like, we're going to base our value off of it.
Yeah.
Everyone agreed.
Everybody agreed.
Two cavemen agreed.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, you know.
But for thousands and thousands of years versus paper money, which is...
250, 300 years old.
Not even. Because it was always backed
gold
by...
Gold standard, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's always backed. And so since the 70s, yeah.
70s, yeah.
Nixon took us off.
And gold in and of itself doesn't have much value.
Yeah.
From an industrial perspective, from a metallurgical
use
perspective.
Right.
It's used in electronics.
Some electronics and jewelry.
Yeah.
That's about it, man.
That's it.
It's a good conductor.
That's
why it's used in electronics, but not
copper is a tenth the price or a hundredth the price and is almost as good. So that's why we use copper.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point, dude. It's not really like actually utilitarian valuable. Is that what you'd say? Yeah. Utilitarian
there, there are some high-end electronics that you really want that extreme conductivity that gold has that copper does not have that make it valuable. But we're all going to go to ceramic conductors anyway and have superconductors, so it doesn't matter.
Do you think so? So
facetious, by the way.
Okay. What do you think about the conductor? I guess, is it a semiconductor shortage that we're having now?
Okay, hold on a second before we get into the China thing, because I know you want to segue into China.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the cryptocurrency. That's why I brought the currency up.
Okay.
So basically, you're saying you want something to back it up, and I agree with that. But what if there's just a finite number of this thing? Like Bitcoin was supposed to be a finite number of this thing, and it's supposed to make it valuable, right?
Right.
So are you saying that it has to be that way, or are you saying that maybe that wouldn't even work right?
No, I don't.
Because there's no physical asset behind it.
Well, so think about it, because I can now go buy a tenth of a Bitcoin.
Right.
All
right,
so now you said, I'm going to make up the number because I don't remember what it is. A million Bitcoins, right? That was the limit.
Sure.
Well, it's not anymore because now I just bought a tenth of a Bitcoin.
So you're saying where's the standard? There's not a one standard.
Right, there's not a single standard.
One-to-one standard, right?
Right.
They even made a Bitcoin dollar. Like, they made a Bitcoin
coin.
That's only one. You buy one, it's one.
One.
And it's $1. It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense because now you're basing the Bitcoin off of the dollar.
Right.
What the heck? You can't do that.
And so I don't think there's a standard.
Right.
People value it whatever it's worth to me at the moment.
Right.
And if my valuing on that is because you can't trace it, well, that you just lost all my value. So
interesting.
It has no value to me anymore.
Or the meme went out of style.
Yeah.
The dog meme went out of style. It's not a Dogecoin. It's like, oh, that's not funny anymore.
Right.
I got one more story for you guys.
Okay.
A woman was duct taped to a seat after biting a flight attendant trying to open the plane's door. This just happened on American Airlines. TikTok, again, doing his thing. Goes viral because that's where the video was. She was physically restrained in her chair with strips of duct tape aboard an American Airlines flight. She was in first class, the company says, after she allegedly tried to open the plane's door mid-flight. She was having a mental breakdown, apparently. She bit some people. She spit on some people. And so they duct taped her mouth and duct taped her to her chair.
What? Duct taped
her
mouth?
Now, where are we at? Yeah, where are we at with that?
I would say that was illegal.
Yeah.
Probably was. Yeah. I agree with that.
Definitely.
It's interesting. All of them were flight attendants. They all worked for American Airlines. So now what is American Airlines going to do, right? They had a cop and a medical expert waiting at the landing.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
the lady's probably going to get arrested.
You think so?
Yes.
Because she went ham.
Because it's a federal crime to even touch a flight attendant. Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
A flight attendant?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. They can't be messed with.
What?
Well, I think it's actually technically to disobey like a direct order mid-flight is a federal offense.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
And then touching the door, that's...
Well, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, right?
Because you're going to kill people. A lot of other people, yeah.
Right. That's insane. That's your little. That's just a funny like thing.
So I'm assuming there was no air marshal on the flight.
No, probably not.
I see.
And then the suspect would have been handcuffed.
Right? Wouldn't he have gotten up and like, okay, I got to do something here?
Yeah.
How often is there an air marshal on a flight? Do you guys know?
It's probably like one out of every 10 flights. One out of every 100 flights, maybe. There's quite a few air marshals out there.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of
flights. A lot of flights.
So.
Right.
And yeah, I guess they're only on domestic flights too.
Yeah.
I would think they would be on, because then they'd have no jurisdiction.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I just don't think that was the right way to handle it, of course, but...
Yeah. Well, they do have jurisdiction because until that plane lands, it's still considered American soil.
Ah. Huh. That's interesting. Write that one down for my later life crimes brief. Man.
You're going to cut that out of the...
Yeah, for sure.
So, Can we go into China now?
Dude, we got you. Yeah, let's do it, man. It's all you, brother.
So what do you think of the most recent Chinese aggression? Like, well, I should say Hong Kong first.
You're going to skip the semiconductors? You want to talk about that? Shortage?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like, is that really the same thing?
All right, let's talk about China's tensions. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So what do you think of Chinese aggression the last year or so?
I think they're definitely testing Biden. See what his responses are going to be. They want to know how he will respond to further escalation. And so to do that, you don't escalate all at once. You make smaller, minor adjustments and see how he responds and get a gauge for him before you make your big push.
You know, what do you do when you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
You're testing your parents?
Mm-hmm. But where's the line? Where does Joe Biden have a line with China?
Well, I don't think so. I think Taiwan is basically gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You don't think we're gonna do anything?
I think they're gonna use Taiwan as the first big test. They're gonna take over Taiwan. Just like they did Hong Kong. And then as far as the Indian border, then they might push India. But India has a big army.
Yeah.
That's a big old tiger you're threatening right there.
About to pull the tail.
Is it? Now are they actually like a decent army?
1.3 billion people in each country. Two biggest, most populous countries. So.
Do they know what they're doing, though?
India?
Are they just random people?
The British, they were a British colony up until the 60s. And then they've been a strong Western ally. So, yeah, they've been allowed to have nuclear weapons and tanks and all sorts of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Well, the biggest problem is you got Pakistan has got nuclear weapons.
And India,
and they hate each other.
Sure.
China has nuclear weapons, and India has nuclear weapons, and they hate each other. So it wouldn't take much flare-up for things to get out of control.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
It would be out of U.S. control either way.
Right. I'm
not much we can do.
I was about to say, like, are we going to have the world police or the world police this time, too? Like, are we going to...
We gotta
same
also
as we always do.
The thing is, like, on the other side of that same coin, we gotta look out for our best interests as a country. You know,
I agree with that.
That's gonna ruin us economically, and our people are gonna have, you know, they're gonna miss their toys and their Happy Meals. What are we gonna do without China? You know what I mean? Because all of our crap is made in China.
No, I get
it. It's not really stuff
like,
that we need.
Why?
But,
right.
So is it worth, you know?
No, you're right.
Well,
I think we're so far
really
down that road. We're so far down this road where we get shoes and Nikes and they're $100 when they should probably be $300 or so. Mm-hmm. We're so far down this road and used to it that if we were to just all of a sudden have to, you know, flip all that around, even over the course of 10 years, I think it would be catastrophic.
Well, I want to disagree with you just a little bit there.
Okay.
And let me make two points. One, I'm going to give Joe Biden a little credit. I know, it's hard for you to believe, but I am giving a little credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Under the Trump administration, they sold a bunch of equipment to Taiwan, and Biden upheld that. So he is not totally backed off of Taiwan. He's still allowing them to buy military hardware.
Huh.
Now, one of the things that has happened in China, two things that are vital to this discussion, is their middle class is growing dramatically. And so what's happening is prices are starting to increase from Chinese goods. So manufacturers are starting already to move things to Malaysia, to Vietnam, to other places where the labor is still cheaper.
Right.
So I don't know that it would be catastrophic to move everything. I think there are a lot of companies that are already starting to move things away from China because as their middle class goes, they want more money. Therefore, their pay is starting to increase. Therefore, the cost of goods starts to increase.
Right. So they're growing into like a more like first world power, like bigger power, like as far as like economy goes.
Yeah. And if China, gets the middle class, then that's where we're in real trouble.
Right.
They outnumber us.
Isn't there like some kind of thing,
3-1
like study where if two countries are kind of against each other, one's a little bit higher, but once one catches up or gets close, they like, I mean, instantly there's going to be a war? Or is it just maybe that's what happens?
I don't think you have the issue that we had with Russia, right? The whole Cold War was that, right?
That's a good point.
So now the other thing that's going on in China is demographically. They are an aging population because of for so long they had a one-child rule.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have enough young people coming along to take over all the jobs of the old people.
And they didn't want like a daughter. They wanted men only. Right. All this up stuff.
So China's got some internal issues that they're really trying to hide from us.
For sure.
That are...
It's going to catch up to them.
It's going to catch up to them. Now, the question is Xi so militant that he realizes that this is going to be a problem and say, I got to do something now before it becomes a problem, militarily.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, that would be a good way to unite the country, and especially from their perspective. Everyone unite to take over our territory, our sovereign territory.
Yeah, that's what Putin does, right?
Yeah,
That's why he attacked Crimea. Mm-hmm. He was failing, so he said, I can fix that. I'll go attack Crimea. Nobody cares about Crimea.
I'll
go take it over, and we won't worry about it.
Right.
It'll take all the pressure off me internally. And
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So I see the Chinese premier looking the same way. Where can I go and do something like this that will take all the pressure off me?
And that's Taiwan.
Taiwan or India or...
Mm.
Well, I think Taiwan would be less of a threat militarily.
For sure, it'd be easier. It would unite them. It would still do the same exact thing, right? Crimea.
Yeah,
Crimea was nothing.
The difference with Taiwan is our treaty with Taiwan says that we have to support them.
Militarily?
Militarily.
Mm.
We don't have such a treaty with India.
Yeah, that's true.
So
It's well, I mean, the U.S. has never broken a treaty, right? The thing is,
right? Now that may be why he's trying to test Biden now to see will Biden honor the treaty?
Yeah. Cool.
Or will he not? If he thinks Biden's going to honor the treaty, then maybe India's a better place.
If you were president, what would you do? What would you do hypothetically if you were president? All else the same, China just straight up ground invades Taiwan, full on. Air invasion, drones from the sea, everything. What would you do?
Well, I think that it's different than Russia in the regard that I think China will do it and want more.
Yeah, my
I don't think they'll stop.
I'm going to disagree with a premise of yours.
Okay.
Because I think we would see the buildup and intervene before they actually got troops on Taiwanese soil.
Yeah.
We have enough resources in Japan and Taiwan and with two aircraft carrier battle groups there that we could probably, if Biden honored the treaty,
mm-hmm.
we would do something before.
We would intervene much sooner before.
Before they actually landed troops.
Because we can even see that, you know, there's planes coming in, there's this and that, they're doing all this stuff. We can see all that and we hear about it too, I guess, too.
Yeah,
but is that not right now? Are they not ramping up right now, do you think? Like, is that...
We don't see things like landing crafts that would do amphibious assaults. Now, we do see them practicing a lot of amphibious assaults, but there's no buildup of them aimed at Taiwan. Let me back up. As far as I know,
the Chinese are pretty sneaky.
We also sent over another carrier, and we're also doing this kind of stuff. Maybe he's trickling in stuff. Maybe Biden's just like, let's trickle this in. Slowly but surely, we'll have something over there. Good.
I have no doubt that we've got a couple of spy satellites stationed over that area right now, looking and constantly monitoring what's going on.
Same with India.
So
right, that's all fine and dandy, but the fact is that America does the exact same thing to its own people, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
as far as spy satellites and everything goes. It's like, I love the fact that we have that technology. That's awesome. But then it's like, oh, dang.
Patriot Act. We don't need spy satellites. They're listening right now.
I was going to say, right. The phones.
Yeah. Phones, internet. They dang, know. Dude. They know.
It's crazy. So in your job, whenever you were doing the medical billing and stuff, did you ever like have anything that was just not morally wrong, but like, did you ever have anything that you have to do with billing and stuff like that? That's just like, wow, why the heck do you guys do that? Like messing with insurance companies, you know?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
We definitely worked hard to make sure that the software captured all that was legally allowed.
Yeah.
So we were very careful to make sure, because Medicare gets really irritated with you and will cut off your funding, your reimbursements, if you don't do it right.
Right.
So we worked really hard to make sure that it billed correctly based on what Medicare would allow.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I haven't been in that business in a few years, but there were some tricks you could play, double air quote tricks you could play.
Yeah.
In which you would look at a diagnosis code and then kind of scan to see which Medicare procedure should be applied to that to maximize your payment.
Yeah.
Right?
I've talked to my mom about a lot of that because she works at a clinic. She runs a clinic for MRIs and stuff, right?
Yeah.
She went to one of their offices or whatever they have, and she talks about having to do that because they always have to call themselves and, like, track that and, like, get the money for it, basically. And I'm just like, how does that work, you know? And she told me there's a code for everything, and you can't really do anything outside of that code.
Right.
But you can find things that are like tricks or whatever. I'm just like, it's so messed up to me, though, because they'll change their codes constantly.
Yeah. So when I was doing this, it was ICD-8 changed to ICD-9. I think they're up to ICD-14 now. The diagnosis codes that you can they can use. And the procedure codes were CPT, what they called CPT codes.
Right.
And those change, seems like, every year. Now, a lot of that is because medical technology changes every year.
Sure.
Medical research advances to the point where new surgical procedures that were not available 10 years ago are now commonplace.
Right.
And one of the things that Matthew can attest to is, you know, his grandfather, my dad, was a heart surgeon.
Right.
And
I want to get him on at some point.
Yeah. When he was starting out on doing heart surgery, you practiced on dogs. Okay, because you didn't want to practice on humans.
Right.
You didn't want to, so you practice. Well, it turns out dogs are terrible animal models for humans.
Right.
And they couldn't figure it out.
Why would they? They're like completely different.
Well,
so different.
Yeah, but the heart structure's similar.
Oh, it is.
Right. It's a
four
chamber heart.
Okay.
They're mammalian hearts, just like humans.
Yeah.
You know what the best model is? Pigs.
So probably pigs.
Pigs.
No, I guess. Right. Same for, like, tattooing and sewing flesh together.
Because of the flesh?
Suturing, I should say.
The skin's kind of the same?
A lot of the properties between human and pig are the same, which is kind of weird. I've also, don't ask me how I know this, but, like, human flesh is similar to, like, pork.
That explains a lot about you.
What the heck, dude?
In terms of, like, texture and tasting. Like,
what?
Human
how
flesh,
the, yeah,
like,
how do
shop.
You know that, dude? And Hannibal, you friends with him?
I've heard
down
like
the line?
Cannibals accounts of it.
That's weird, man.
Jeffrey Dahmer and
yeah,
they all agree like that. Anyway, so back to back
did
to the
all the podcast get off this offline.
Heck
right
yeah!
Oh,
okay,
no,
we got to go down the east little rabbit.
They here's the thing about podcasting. The reason I love it so much is because I can sit here, we can have a conversation, and I really don't have to. Yeah, I'll edit some parts out, but dude. I don't have to worry about much of it.
Not,
if they get on a podcast, they should be expecting a conversation. You know what I mean?
About all sorts of stuff.
It's a newscast in a way, but it's also not just a newscast.
It's our opinion on most of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just commentary, and we get to talk
and
about
And we
it.
Hope everybody at least learns one new thing, which hopefully I just gave you a new fun fact for your next dinner party.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
We research so much, though. You pick up a lot of stuff, and he knows a ton of history, so it helps out when he can apply what he knows, and I'll just spit off random facts or whatever, and people love it. So,
all right, cool.
That's about it. I don't know. You watch it? Do you like it?
Yeah.
I'm
biased, obviously. So
sure,
I have
of course,
to be careful
right?
about that. So
you have to like it.
Yeah, I don't have a choice.
So let me. Can I go back to foreign policy real quick?
Don't have to ask. I'm just kidding.
So
to ask permission.
Speaking of foreign aggression and Russia. What do you think about the Russian, all the Russian hacks? How Biden said you couldn't, we've got 16 critical infrastructure items. Oh, these are them. Here's what you can't attack. Putin's like, okay. Pocket that.
Right.
I thought that was one of the dumbest foreign policy decisions ever made.
Yeah.
That just made zero sense to me.
He's a total idiot when it comes to foreign policy, especially.
Well, yeah, and it was speech in that kind of ruined it, right? He could have said, like, you guys cannot attack our critical infrastructure and stop.
Stopped, right.
Stopped.
Why the list?
Here's a list of stopped. the 16 most important ones.
Yeah, he didn't have to do any of that. And that's really what we're talking about. Yeah. Like, that's the reason it's, like, not good.
You're still attacking foreign, foreign agents are still attacking American companies, American infrastructure, American ideology. You're attacking all of that anytime you hack an American company.
You know, that actually happened, I guess I can't really say why I know this, but that happened in, like, you know, the emergency services division of things. Like, I know of several fire trucks that don't have computers right now and no dispatch, and they're still rebuilding it because of a Russian hack that apparently happened, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It doesn't make any sense. They're like, we couldn't, there was not reusable. It wasn't just a hack. It was like a destroy the computer, basically. Now we can't use it.
Yeah.
And so they're waiting because they had to rebuild their whole, like, system to do it so the firewall is good enough. And they're going to put them all back in, and all the computers go back in. It's weird.
Well, there is no such thing as a hack-proof system. Guaranteed. There's no such thing.
Sure.
If you want to spend enough resources and enough time, you will find a way in. So when you sit there and say, these are the ones you can't touch, but if you touch these others, that's okay, you're just opening the door for them.
Right.
Yeah, and also, and that's not like they don't know, but it's also giving them a list of what's most important to our infrastructure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, right? And then they know. They're like, oh, this will really hurt them. But it's also saying, like, these other things, I guess they don't matter. Let's attack those just for fun.
That's what I'm saying.
it's like stealing $999 in San Francisco. Like, you're going to get away with it.
Yeah.
They don't prosecute for it anymore.
Right. Interesting. It's
crazy in itself. But, do you think, so how do you think the U.S. should respond or retaliate? And do you think we are?
I think we are. I would think that the appropriate response is to say, guys, we know what you're doing. We're coming after you too.
And I'll just hit it back twice as hard.
Now that we're talking about this subject, then, you know, whenever we were all freaking out about UFOs and crap, and we're all like, oh my gosh, whatever, you know, we think it's aliens or whatever. Or we didn't, but whatever. Me and Matt came up with this first, I think, but he's like, hey, you know, I really think it's just us, you know, it's just our technology.
I do too.
Well, you talk about, like, our kind of hidden agenda to say, we know what you're doing, but you don't necessarily want the American people to freak out, so you're like...
I think my personal opinion is, because of where these have happened, did you know that all of these sightings have happened over U.S.-controlled airspace?
Yeah.
Military training zones.
Right.
And who's releasing all the videos?
Military.
The U.S. Navy.
Yeah. Right. So my suspicion is that these are tests by DARPA. I don't know. Some agent.
To see. 17 agencies, so it could be anything, right?
So let's say DARPA, just for argument's sake. DARPA is releasing this and seeing what is the response of our Navy. Is our technology so good that even our own Navy can't get it? And if that's the case, there ain't a Navy in the world that can touch it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So this is a Russia, look what we've got. And touch it.
Not only, so not that's only, what I'm thinking. Not only look what we got, look what we've had since 2004.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these videos are that old.
Yeah.
Look what we've had for 15, 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tim Pool was saying there's reports of Russia seeing stuff like that in the 80s, too, but. That's Tim Pool.
Well, there have been sightings like that since World War II.
Yeah.
Actually,
and you've got, Bosnia and those types of things. Like, whoa, like that type of sighting stuff. But I think that's a different scenario, in my opinion, than what we're seeing now with Tic Tac and all that crap. Different things, in my opinion.
So when you're flying a P-47 during World War II doing 350 miles an hour, something that passes you by at 500 miles an hour seems alien. That's just totally, how can you do that?
Right.
Well, ME-262s flew at 500 miles an hour. So,
boom.
Right.
Yeah, technology always goes higher. Right. It goes higher. You're like, whoa, wow, this is crazy.
Right, so if you're in the Navy F-14 Tomcat flying at 1,200 miles an hour and something passes you by at 3,000 miles an hour, you go, that's not possible. Well, yeah, this is just you not aware of it. So.
Yeah, right. And that's why I think time travel will exist at some point. Even though I've been told that, no, there's no way it can exist because of the grandfather theory or whatever.
Well, mathematically, it's not possible to travel back further than your own existence. So time travel mathematically allows you to travel back within your own existence. So I could go back to 1959.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I could not go back prior to that mathematically.
Right.
Now, so... But
because of the matter, I guess.
Well, because of the energy, matter. The energy expenditures become infinite beyond that. So, but the energy requirements, from my understanding of the mathematics, make it just dang near impossible to time travel. Not totally impossible.
Oh yeah, right. No, I just feel like there's going to be some point in the it could be forever away, but I'm just saying, like, man, we just keep coming up with these things where we're just like, oh, wow, we didn't think that was possible, or we're proving these theories right, or dark matter, you know, all that stuff.
There is a mathematical possibility for doing warp travel, warp speed, right?
Where you're just bending time.
Right.
Well, you're bending space. You're warping space and time
around you, right? It's a bubble. You create this dark matter thing.
But the energy requirements are enormous, and we don't have any possibility of creating that energy today.
Right.
That doesn't mean 150 years from now, 200 years from now, we won't have that capability. Not have that capability.
It's today. Crazy that even like nuclear power is not, that's not it. That's not the powerful, but it's not like the, we need more energy than that, dude.
And sustained, too.
Sustained for a long period of time to be able to just keep
safely.
Going.
Yeah.
Right.
And in space. So, we're a ways off.
Wow. Wowzers.
Yeah, so...
Which is one of the reasons I disregard the fact that these are aliens, going back to the technology.
Yes. There's always something new that comes out. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's no way that's possible or whatever.
But how do you explain the radar jamming, the acceleration, the no propulsion system? I guess you can't explain it, but what is...
Well, a deflating balloon, bro.
So radar jamming is not necessarily radar jamming.
It could be radar deflection.
Yeah, so... Back in the 80s, and I can't tell you who I heard this from.
Oh, I probably know.
We had technology that deflected radar, so it made you look like you were somewhere else.
Ah. And guess what that thing jumped up and down real fast? Infrared. You know, all those tracking systems. It wasn't an action. That's why I wasn't shot on one of these.
Because it's a camera.
It's a flare.
Yeah, it's not a window. You're not looking into a freaking window. It's a camera. That's insane, dude.
So I don't know if they have technology that just makes the infrared signature look like it's somewhere else.
It just
bends it enough.
That would make reflects way more it sense, enough. Dude.
Now, I bet you that technology exists. I think.
That's an easy bet, honestly. Hey.
What about visually? Do you think that you could fool the human eye into thinking something is moving like that when it's really just staying still and you're just bending the light?
Sure, you see it all the time. Go out and look at the heat waves come off them.
Yeah.
Right? Go stand on a highway.
There you go, yeah. That's just
and watch the heat waves
the
come off.
Of light.
And see that cars look like they're right on top of you when they're ways off because of the refraction of the light.
Or a mirage where you see the
The
reflection of the sky.
Yeah, there's
how
a
they do that, I don't
there.
Have any idea, but I know that it is possible.
Yeah. It's not typically possible. Well, do you know who Bob Lazar is?
No.
Well, dude, okay. You need to look up, you need to look into Bob Lazar, bro. Yes. So Bob Lazar is the guy that has the testimony about basically being abducted by aliens.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you think, man, what a loony. But the fact is, he'll explain it to you, and I don't think he's changed his story yet.
Has he been abducted? I thought he worked at S4 in Area 51.
Wait, which one got abducted? There's another guy that got abducted. I'm mixing these guys up. Bob Lazar worked at Area 51.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, listeners. That was my fault. There's another guy, though, there's another documentary on Netflix. It's about a guy that worked in the wood industry.
Yes.
He was a logger.
Like Montana.
And, like, he, like, there's a blast of light, and he's like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, radiation burns. Yeah. I don't know about that one.
That's a weird one.
But Bob Lazar's been telling the same story since the... like mid-80s.
Right. Hasn't changed the story at all.
And he basically said he worked at Area 51 and was very shortly moved to Area S4, mm-hmm. which is another top secret military installation. And he saw alien craft, basically flying saucers, and he worked on reverse engineering their technology, which bent space-time. And that was their propulsion system, was bending space-time. He said that one time one guy tried to crack open the little thing and he died. I'm like, okay. He sure is getting a little crazy, but...
Well, I mean, I don't know.
But he's been telling that. He's been telling that same story for a long time.
A long,
very
long
consistent.
Time.
And
well, if I rehearse something often enough, I can tell it consistently too.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know him. Haven't heard anything.
No,
yeah, it doesn't make it true for sure.
It doesn't make it true for sure. You don't think the CIA? You know, they obviously did stuff to the media to make us believe crap all the time. They brainwashed. They tried to brainwash us in a way,
mm-hmm.
with commercials and crap. Anyway, whatever. But if they can't, if they can do it to us, why wouldn't they be able to just be like, train somebody to be like, hey, this is your story. You're going to say this no matter what. We're going to pay you this X amount. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go either way for sure.
Sure.
He was on Joe Rogan too, though. And Joe Rogan was like, I want to talk to you about this, but
exactly.
I want it to be real.
And he's a really intelligent person,
right?
And
cool.
He seems very calm and...
He's chill about it.
And very...
He actually, I think at one point on Joe Rogan was like, I'm kind of tired of like... Kind of tired at this point. But
yeah.
I don't know, you know.
So if you're going to dissuade people from believing that aliens, the easiest way to do that is convince them that aliens exist. So if I tell you consistently that aliens exist and I come across as a little bit of a nutcase, but not a total nutcase,
mm-hmm.
so do you at least listen to me and then you go, eh, this guy's nuts, or no aliens.
Hmm.
Or maybe he's misinformation and trying to convince everybody that there are aliens to keep it away from thinking what DARPA's doing.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's a distraction,
so,
right?
Right.
Even from actual technology we have.
And that's what I think... Neil deGrasse Tyson's been saying too. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, look, I mean, it's basically not aliens. Because why would they? And I made this point too on this podcast. Was, if they were aliens and they had that kind of technology, they would not be seen. If they didn't want to be seen, they wouldn't just evade us and be, we got caught by the Navy. Oops.
Yeah. Right.
No,
right.
That would not.
If they can make near speed of light travel or
mm-hmm.
faster than speed of light travel and truly tight weight warp space time, they've got technology not to be seen.
Exactly. And if they don't want to be seen, they won't be seen.
Yeah.
We could be. You
think our stealth technology is good?
Yeah.
Think about what technology would be if in 1,000 years would
exactly.
we get to the point where we could.
Right.
Hmm. And then again, on the same point, aliens would probably have to be thousands of years more advanced than us and thousands of light years, if not at the very least hundreds of light years away, because one, there's no planets that can support life that close, and two, microwave signals and AM radio signals travel through space,
mm-hmm.
and so at the very least they would hear some AM radio from, I don't know, when 1920s, 30s.
So we've been looking for aliens since 1964 when Wilson Penzias first detected, or first trying to develop radar,
mm-hmm.
radio astronomy.
Right. And we haven't got any pings back. It would have to travel, 50 some odd light years?
50 light years. So
and
we're pretty confident there are no life forms no intelligent life forms
right.
within 50
nothing
light
that
years.
Can respond to that willingly, at least.
Right.
They may hear it and go, okay.
Well, if they're a technology that's advanced enough for space travel, they would be sending their own radio waves out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've not detected any radio waves with any of the star systems within 50 light years.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like the movie Signs, where they're flipping through the channels and they catch their
mm-hmm.
on the baby monitor, they catch the clicking. Good movie. Anyway, so speaking of space, we'll stay on that a little bit. What do you think of Elon Musk, Mars, and the private space race of the 21st century?
Love it.
Pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
It's moving so much faster and cheaper than the one that the government
mm-hmm.
did. The two you've governments.
You've cut out the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a perfect example of how bureaucracies get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need smaller government, not larger government. Get out of the way, let private sector take it, and they will move significantly faster than anything the government can do.
Exactly.
What do you think? Blue Origin or SpaceX is going to be like the...
SpaceX.
SpaceX.
They've already got the contract with NASA, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so does Blue Origin, but they're a year and a half or 2 years behind schedule.
Yeah, Elon Musk is on schedule. Jeff Bezos just left Amazon, so.
Yeah, he's going into space.
Yeah.
Guy's nuts.
he is.
Richard Branson went into kind of space today.
Sort of.
Yeah, I heard about that.
80 kilometers up.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny about that is I didn't even have to read it. I read the headline and I saw the plane and I was like, oh, so he went into space, quotes.
He went into like the
I was like, okay,
outer, what is that, the outer stratosphere?
Right. Which we've had planes to do that already, right? We've already
Concorde?
Built planes. Yeah.
The Concorde. Fly in the stratosphere? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the Concorde went to 80 kilometers.
Well, they were designing a plane like the Concorde because since the Concorde failed or whatever as a commercial plane or whatever,
right.
they're designing another plane like that, I think. I can't remember what it's called.
There are several companies looking at
it. They're like, well, let's do this again, you know? Cause
I mean, it was such an awesome plane.
But it just wasn't, at that point in time.
It
was
too loud.
Yeah, the timing was not right, I don't think. It's like when Microsoft made their first tablet in the 90s and it didn't do anything and the iPad comes out and people go,
The biggest thing with the Concorde is the noise. It was loud to fly in and it was loud for people that live by airports.
From a commercial standpoint, it was only held 80 passengers. That was
that
problem.
Too.
Yeah, the expense was like not.
Yeah.
It wasn't cost effective. And also, you're talking about getting all the way up there and coming back down. I don't know how high it flew, but it flew higher than other planes. I know that.
Yeah, talk to your granddad about flying into Concorde.
Oh, did he fly one? I never knew that.
Yeah.
Dang, dude. See, this guy is man.
That'll crazy. Be like a 5-hour podcast.
Yeah.
You think so?
Well,
two or three.
What's it like growing up? Well, okay, you know what? Since you're here now,
the closest we're gonna get for now.
No, that's not what I meant. You're interesting too. See, you can't do that. You can't discredit him. You know, Don's a cool guy. I mean, like, what's it like growing up in that situation? Where did you grow up?
Well, that's a good question. Depends on what you mean by grew up. So, I was born in New York City. Moved to Houston when I was a year and a half. Moved to Idaho when I was 4. Moved back to Houston when I was 6. 6 and a half, moved to Lubbock when I was 12.
Okay.
Lubbock, Texas.
Wow, and is that kind of where you were through high school?
Yeah, so, and then after high school, I had enough of Lubbock and left.
Yeah, Lubbock is...
Lubbock's Lubbock, bro.
Yeah.
I would say this, though. I would say the most developing years are probably, you know, early, like probably mid, junior high school.
Yeah, so
I
was there in
the formative years,
Lubbock.
You know, the weird time whenever you're in 7th and 8th grade and you like want to wear all
when
black
the hormones,
for some
when the
like
hormones
golf.
Are coming out.
Yeah.
Yes, dude, yes, those were the times, right?
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Like, what the heck am I doing in this life?
Yeah, look at all this stuff all over my face.
Yeah, it's weird. And then high school, and then college helps too, obviously, of course, but where did you go to college? Did you go to?
A small college, or university in Georgetown, Texas called Southwestern University.
Nice.
Not to be confused with Southwest Texas State.
Wow. Okay.
So,
cool.
Southwestern is still there today.
When I graduated, there were 900 total students in the university. In my senior year, I was taking 6 classes. I was the only student in 5 of them. Made it real tough to skip class.
I can imagine.
What the heck? So, wow. What'd you go to school for though? At that time,
I majored in biochemistry.
Undergrad.
What?
Yeah.
It's funny, biochemistry, and then here you are, man. You know, it's always interesting to me hearing the stories of people that go to school for something and then really they just don't end up doing that.
Yep.
You know? It's crazy. Yeah. And right here, well, this actually might be what he's
doing
for.
This
might be it
right
here.
Thing for my degree goes.
It's interesting, yeah. Everyone does that. Unless they go to school, it seems like, for, like, skills. Like, I went to school to be a lawyer. Well, you're going to be a freaking lawyer because you just paid a ton of money to do it.
Yeah.
So you better freaking be a lawyer, you know?
It better be a good one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Biochem is, like, this broad thing, and you learn a lot during biochemistry, probably not just biochemistry.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Did you like it, though?
Yeah, I loved it.
So
it was perfect for me.
Yeah.
I was very introverted. I'm still very introverted. I've just learned to overcome it.
You're in a C-suite, dude. I don't think you're going to be introverted.
I was very introverted, and so going to a school which was very small allowed me to maintain being introverted.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
The advantage that I had is that when I went to graduate school, I was already used to dealing with professors one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, you come from UT or A&M or one of those big schools, and you're in classes of 300, and you're even not encouraged to raise your hand because... nobody's got time to answer questions for 300 students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, when you get to graduate school, you don't know how to deal with professors one-on-one. Well, I've been doing it for over a year already. Mm. So it allowed me to to move through a graduate school pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's pretty intimidating the first time you're going to see a professor or whatever, and you want to talk to them first in person. Yeah. Like, oh no, this guy, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably one of your first, like, big bosses of life, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
As far as having to talk. Then you get to work, and it's your real boss that you talk to, you know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, go back to your original question, what was it like growing up with my dad?
Yeah, I mean, really, all that stuff,
right? It was tough. It was hard.
He's a heart surgeon.
So it was hard from a whole different list of perspectives. One, I didn't see my dad for weeks at a time.
Right.
Because he didn't come home until after I was in bed, got up and left to go operate before I got up in the morning. So for literally weeks at a time, I wouldn't see him. So that was hard. It was tough because I was an athlete. I played baseball and football. He couldn't come to most of my games. You know, all the other kids' dads are out there and standing and cheering, and I'm looking, and my dad's not there.
Right.
So from a selfish perspective, it was hard.
Right.
Looking back, I understand what he did. I know why he did it. Mm-hmm. It was important not only to him and to our family, but to all those lives that he saved along the way, being a heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. But still, when you're junior high, high school, in those formative years, and you're just purely selfish, which is what we all are in junior high and high school, right? It was tough because he wasn't there. And then as I got into college and graduate school, and I saw the success that he had,
right,
both medically, financially, business-wise, and everybody kept asking me, what are you going to do better than this? Because that was the way you were, right, back then, is you always were the generation that did better than the generation before you.
You gotta keep the legacy going.
Yeah.
You know, or more.
Well,
you know.
Your dad here is making just tons of money and is the pillar of Lubbock. Not that Lubbock is that big, but you know, he's still the pillar of Lubbock.
Not. So if
right?
you have a heart surgeon in Lubbock, it's probably the only heart surgeon in Lubbock.
Well, he was for many years.
He
brought in partners as he got bigger.
Yeah.
But for many years, he was the guy.
Right.
Well, how do I be the guy?
Yeah.
So it was intimidating to try and figure out, how am I going to compete with this?
Yeah,
so you got to pick out of Lubbock.
Granddad's a very quietly intimidating person. Like, he doesn't wear like a lot of flashy clothes or jewelry or anything like that. He's a very humble person. But when you go to his house, you're just like, oh, man, what do I say that's going to really impress this guy? There's probably, he's just not impressed anymore by anything.
You know, he has met presidents, he's met queens, he met Queen Elizabeth, he's met queens of Denmark. You know, how do I compete with that?
So I just don't know how you'd be a heart surgeon and do all that. It doesn't sound like a heart surgeon puts you in those places. It's a lot of networking.
It does when you operate on those families.
Oh, gotcha. There it is, right?
Right?
Yeah.
So there are ways to get in front of those people when you approach it not from in front of those people.
Right. No, that's true. Yeah. My mom used to work with a guy named Dr. Paza, and he's like a pain doctor, but he's very well known in India. And he like operated on the prince or something like that. He's crazy. He's big.
Yeah.
And the prince like gave him a villa and then in Italy, and then gave him cars all the time. Like would ship over cars constantly.
Wow.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Like Ferrari
like, hey,
here, Rolls Royce here.
A two-car garage. Like, just,
I'm just like, how the heck? Like, wow.
So I became a Christian when I was 50 years old, which is pretty late for most people. I converted when I was 50.
Living in Texas, that's surprising, right?
Yeah. So someday, if you want to know, I will tell you my story of how that happened.
But what do you mean? I'm always game for any stories, honestly.
So it wasn't until I became a Christian that I realized that doesn't matter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All that success that my dad had, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So that was extremely liberating and put me in a great deal of peace to realize that I don't have to do that. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So, but it wasn't until I was 50 that I learned that.
You'd already had kids and everything, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Hmm. So, I always think of it like this, like, you know, we're taught, we got to be the legacy people or whatever. Well, the other thing I see all the time is that people will grow to be 21 to through 25 and they'll have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get married and have kids immediately. And I'm like, how do you have time in that regard to like really build a legacy if you're going to do it? So what, are you always just going to put it on the kids?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Your dad didn't do that, obviously. I just mean like that's what I see nowadays. I'm like, man.
And as I look at it, truly my legacy, I want people to just say, He ran the good race. He fought the good fight.
Right.
He did what Christ wanted him to do.
Yeah.
That's the only legacy I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything else.
Well, interesting. And I see, this is where I feel bad whenever I say, no, I want people to know who I am and let's make this thing happen. And I want to build this great thing to show people.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know. I feel like...
As long as that's not what drives you...
Like deep down?
Yeah.
No, I don't just want to be famous. It's not really what it's all about.
Right. So as long as you put Christ first, go for it.
Right.
Go for it. I hope you're tremendously successful.
Right.
I want to be able to be the guy who look back and say, I knew him when.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but it just, I am very successful.
Right. No, it's just not. Like it definitely sounds like you are.
But it is not what I strive for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I strive to be Christ-like. I strive to be known. I want people to know. I want Christ to be so visible through me that people know that about me. I don't want people to know, oh, that guy's rich.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, for me, it's always been like positive energy. So anytime I meet somebody or whatever, it's just like, man, you're always so positive. Or,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with money ever. Like, I've already said this before. I don't really care if this podcast doesn't really make a lot of money as long as we can have a lot of influence. That's the point. I want to make a lot of influence. I want to be able to be like, you know, because there's just too much today that's wrong. It's not truth. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
right. So
it's hard.
That to me is exactly the point. If you, in my opinion, my maybe humble opinion, if you speak the truth, if you're open and honest, you will be successful. People are going to start recognizing the lies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because lies cannot be sustained forever.
Exactly.
So as long as you're honest and truthful and have a heartfelt passion for this, you're going to be successful.
Hmm. Well, so speaking of the lies and everything, then where bringing this back into politics a little bit.
Yeah.
When do you think people become aware of all that stuff? You know what I mean? Like, so our society right now in America, just America, I'm not doing war or anything like that. You know, there's so much weird things happening where people just blatantly don't see it or they don't recognize. Or take critical race theory, for example, right? Like, it's being pushed into schools and stuff like that.
Yep.
And that's a problem, and parents are starting to realize that now.
Yeah, they're starting to realize that. They realize that that's a lie.
Right. Parents are.
Yes.
So where's all the rest of the people that aren't really parents or don't have a connection with that, don't even realize it?
What about all the people in college and just graduated, people that don't have
kids? What about them, right? So when are they going to see this?
So you're a fan of Winston Churchill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Winston Churchill said that if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 40, you have no brain.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay. So
I wasn't a liberal at 20, so I was more liberal.
Oh, I was. See, that's the thing is, I wasn't really into politics until like two or three years ago, maybe. Yeah. Right? I met this guy, and,
but and I think that's fairly common. As you start out in life, and you are separating from your parents, which mm-hmm. everybody wants to do, is you know when they're teenagers and they get into college, the last thing they want is their parents to come to the college dorm, right? You have a tendency to be more liberal. Because you're trying to distance yourself from your parents, so mm-hmm. you tend to be more mm-hmm. conservative.
Right.
Well, when you get to be a parent, you recognize the value of those conservative thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and you start to see that in not only a truth perspective, but in a values perspective. Now, truth and value, to me, are very synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
There is no value in lies. Unless it's your own value system that is not based on any reality.
Hmm.
So truth is, by definition, conservative. Right? Because you don't have to remember anything. You don't have to remember all the lies you told.
Right.
You just remember the truth. And therefore it's conservative. We remember the things that we are supposed to do. That's the truth.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a constant thing. So I would say like that's almost one of those things that goes along with being born like sinful or whatever, right? Because mm-hmm. you're born with it and it's always there, it's constant. But like you know, you always for some reason know what the other side is, like
yeah.
the good part is, just because you're
So think about what we said earlier. When you're in junior high and high school, you're selfish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody disagree with that? For the most part.
Yeah, most people.
Most people. Yeah, there are always an exception.
Right.
But for the most part, you're selfish. Well, that then it tells you right then and there that you are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if you're selfish, you're liberal. Liberals are the most selfish, self-centered people in the world.
Yeah.
They think about only themselves. And it's not until they truly think about others. Now, all of this, to me, nonsense about critical race theory and everything is selfishness because it gives them power, gives them control.
Right.
Right? They don't honestly believe that stuff.
Yeah, or care about it.
Or care about it.
Right.
It's all about control.
Right.
You get back to the truth. You get back to being less selfish. You become more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives, if I could put it in a nutshell, is all about how can we help you be successful?
Right.
And the biggest thing is get out of your way.
Right.
Because I don't have any way to make you successful. Only you can make yourself successful.
Right.
So I have to get out of your way. That's what the government should do, is get out of your way. Remove restrictions for you to be successful.
Yeah. If you're listening, guys, we're talking about the ideas of being liberal and conservative. We're not talking about the parties themselves, obviously, because the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are corrupt.
They're both.
We already know they're like the whole one big party theory or whatever. I keep going back to that. It's probably just they're all the same.
Different sides of the same coin.
Yeah, right. They just want that. They both kind of want that control.
Exactly. The Republicans want control in different ways.
But being conservative is a mindset. That's what we're talking about now.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Being liberal is a mindset.
That's why I used conservative and liberal.
I noticed that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get any flack. So if you're listening, you can't say anything. Anyway, all right.
But that is one thing I was going to talk about, is the fact that history is slowly being changed in our schools to be more anti-American.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just being changed to be wrong.
Right. The Robert E. Lee statue was just taken down in Charlottesville.
Yeah, in the direction of anti-Americanism, in that America was founded on principles that were not just, essentially. So the American Revolution is being twisted, manipulated, or not taught at all in the correct way.
Right.
And then you have CRT going in, infiltrating a lot of schools. So do you think that homeschooling will be more popular? Or do you think that...
I think it will certainly be more popular among the conservatives.
Yeah.
I'm talking about that in private school.
That's the thing, is you're going to be teaching... If that is the case, then a lot of the schools will just go along with the liberal ideology because there'll be no conservatives there to fight.
Right, we're going to be out of there and not fighting, right?
Right.
But then you see this, like, there's a teacher in, I want to say Pennsylvania, not a teacher, a parent, a mom, and she is, like, creating a whole, like, organization pretty much around this whole idea that they need to go against it, right? And she even brought up one book, specifically it's called It's Not My Idea, and it's a third grader's book. This book hits CRT very, very intensely. Well, there's actually an ISD in Austin that now has that book too, and they're supplying it. And I was very surprised because I thought Texas would stay away with that.
Yeah.
Eanes ISD. Mm-hmm. I thought they would stay away with that stuff. Like, I thought Texas wouldn't have any. It wouldn't hit us, so I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, it only hit like big cities, like Chicago area type stuff. No, dude.
I mean,
this is happening everywhere.
Austin, Houston, and.
Austin's a fairly liberal city.
It is, but it's just surprising. It's liberal, but it's also like. Not even close to as liberal as, like, you know, say DC, say New York State, you know what I mean? Not even close. So I'm thinking, maybe they won't hit it there, you know?
And that's the thing, is we're going to start having...
This book demonizes white people, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Whenever they bring it up, I'm like, wow, what the heck, that's weird.
What they do, you're a history poli-sci major, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but what people don't do when they study history is understand it in the cultural context from which that time period occurred. You're trying to judge it based on our current culture.
Right.
Cancel culture.
Culture. And that's wrong. You got to truly understand history, you have to do it in the context and the culture in which that history occurred.
Right.
And they're not doing that.
Like people drinking wine way back then because water wasn't good.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole thing. It's like, man, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I talked about that.
That was insightful.
Last episode was that AOC likes to say context, context, like all the time. Why are you just taking that out of context?
Yeah.
But aren't you taking all of American history out of context every time you open your mouth?
Absolutely she is. Well, she's taking her brain out of context every time she opens her mouth.
Yeah, exactly. There's no...
Is that going to get us banned from YouTube?
No, I'm not worried about it. See, that's the one thing I will say. I'm not worried about getting banned from YouTube because I will always have another outlet, right?
Okay, good.
Now, I will say this. I'm not going to not put it on YouTube because we have to be everywhere. That's the battlefield. The battlefield, I'm not going to walk away from the battlefield.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's exactly why I definitely want to keep doing this.
But speaking of getting banned on YouTube, did you get vaccinated? Just want to ask.
I did. The only
That's a personal question, too. On the show, I'm sorry I asked that question.
It's all right.
It's a HEPA violation or whatever.
The only reason I did is because I like to go to the Cayman Islands.
Right.
And they require you to have a vaccine.
Gotcha. Dude, so, and that's enjoyable, too, man.
Yeah. So I love to scuba dive. And
you're also not 12 years of age or under. Right now, that's the big problem.
Yeah.
Having that heart issue. They have like a heart, not failure, but it's causing misbeats and stuff.
Fluid around the heart.
Right. It's actually rare, apparently. Well, apparently it's pretty freaking prevalent in the vaccine for younger people. And so they're having to back off on that whole thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's
And that's according to CDC. You too. Please.
Relax. Okay.
Relax.
CDC.
Yeah, for sure. Another story I have for this last week was, so Blackburn, the senator in Tennessee, I can't remember her first name.
Marsha
Blackburn. She was responding to Taylor Swift. So this is a weird story. I don't know why she was responding to Taylor Swift, but I talked about it on the show previously, but it's weird. But it's because Taylor Swift kind of always she gets involved in politics somehow. I don't know how, and she'll talk about how, you know, the socialist ideas sound good, and Blackburn was just warning her because they were talking to Blackburn about country music because she's in Tennessee. And Blackburn was saying country music is at stake for being taken away because it's being made woke.
Yep.
Fine. Great. And she mentioned Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift was like a big icon in country music before she went crazy pop star, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Taylor Swift does all of her own stuff. She doesn't use record labels or any of that crap. And basically, that's another reason she picked her out because she's one of the few artists that do that, including Katy Perry. And Blackburn was just like, if you want what you have, and you know, music and be able to release everything and do it yourself and all this stuff, then you don't want those things. Because if you have a socialist government, you will have to ask permission to run the music you want, or
exactly.
do the music you want, yep. record yep. the music you want, put it out there. And she was just warning her against that. Because apparently it was a recent comment she made towards Blackburn, because they had an election or something like that a while back, 2018, I think it was. Anyway, whatever. That's the story. It's interesting to me. I don't like how our very big celebrities, and everyone watches these people. They're very influential people, and they are also getting woke.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not good.
They've become idols.
Yes.
Idols in the biblical sense. People
right.
are worshiping them.
Yes. And listen to every word they say.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Fauci, right?
Yeah.
And even politicians are getting to be like that.
Absolutely.
It's scary.
Apparently in Atlanta and in D.C., Jordan was telling me there's signs in people's yards of Dr. Fauci and like, thank you, Dr. Fauci, and stuff like that. That's kind of cultish. That's weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
It's tribalism, dude.
What did he even do for anybody in the first place?
Yeah, he didn't do anything. I agree.
But
he was wrong.
The yard signs are just a little creepy.
Right.
That's taking idol to another step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So real quick, I think we'll wrap up here pretty soon, but what we talked about the parallels between the decline of the United States and the fall of Rome, and you mentioned something before we started recording that there was
decay from within,
yeah,
and attacks from without.
Yep.
So the decay from within is this woke cancel culture. There's no question in my mind that that is an absolute moral decay of this country.
It's moral, it's social, and it's economic class warfare as well. It's all.
So what I'll say is we've been on a moral decline for a while, right? Because we're men. You're saying it's like speeding up now.
It's speeding up.
It's
getting way
more aggressive.
Technology has helped.
Yeah. So it is getting worse. It is moving faster. It is spreading.
Right.
It has now been... Roe v. Wade was 64, 66...
I'm going to say it was 74.
Was it 74? So, anyway, 40 years,
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
So, How many generations have gone through kindergarten thinking that's okay, gone through high school thinking that's okay, through college thinking that's okay? Those people are now adults having their own children or aborting their own children.
Right.
So that's okay. So now that that generation is out there, they are spreading that cancel culture, and they have it embedded within them. So it has now reached a tipping point where it has gone the other side, and this cancel woke culture is, if we don't stop it quickly, in my opinion, it's going to be disastrous for this country.
The fact that people are following behind it so easily is weird to me. Like, not people by themselves. I'm saying, like, companies, and they're falling like on the knees for it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But think how easy it was to get everybody to wear a mask and stay inside for COVID.
Yep.
I guess so. It's just like, I wouldn't be intimidated, I guess.
Peer pressure, safety, you're killing your neighbor if you don't.
We have.
I mean, it's all what it comes down to, a lot of that.
So, I mean, I lost a subscriber over this, and I wasn't worried about it. It was about, we did an abortion episode, we talked about it. We talked about Planned Parenthood, and we literally go to the website, just read off all the stuff they do. And she commented on it saying that we're not allowed to talk about that kind of stuff because we're men, right? That's what she said. And I said, sorry for that, feel that way, whatever. We had a little conversation or whatever, and then bam, subscriber count goes down. I was like, I'm assuming that was her. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Or him. But anyway,
who knows anymore.
I'm not worried about it. It doesn't intimidate me to do that. It doesn't change my, but that's not the, my point in saying all this is, how am I, it's not some great feat I'm doing. It's just, why can't others do the same thing? I guess, like, companies, CEOs, they're more powerful than this random Twitter user that comments on their company.
So let's go back to Taylor Swift to answer your question.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift was a country music star in the 2010s, right? She started making a name for herself.
One of my favorites, actually. I had a huge crush on her. So.
Yeah, she's cute. Let's be honest with you. She's cute.
Yeah.
But she got a following.
Yeah.
She started growing,
right?
Started making money, and people started coming to her and saying, if you want to make more money, you got to start doing this. If you want to get a bigger audience, you got to start saying this. I don't know how much of that is her and how much of her
advisors.
Yeah, or her managers and people that surround her.
Like Greta Thunberg.
She has
handlers like you wouldn't believe.
Her dad writes all. Greta's dad writes all her speeches. She doesn't write a single one of them.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, her dad writes them all. So, and that's the problem is, and that I'm saying this as a warning to you, as you stay small, it's easy to keep your principles.
Right, and I thought about that too.
As you get bigger and get more following, and you want to grow and grow and grow.
Right.
You got to keep your core principles.
It's gonna be hard not to listen.
It's hard not to listen to
all the people out there. Right.
That's exactly, and that's what happens with these these celebrities. Oh, look at all the people following me. I must be somebody important.
Yep.
Right.
Look at all the athletes. Same way.
And you want to do what they want. Yeah. You want to be a populist person, which is interesting to me. They want to be populist, but they're anyway, whatever.
Right. So stick with your core principles. Stick with the truth. Stick with the honesty.
Right. And I'm actually making a video about this. I'm making a video about Toasty Creations and why I created a media company and all that stuff. And I'm basically laying it out now because I realize that there's going to be a time. I need to lay it down now and know exactly why I'm creating this and doing this.
Yeah.
And my brother actually called me last week and was like, so what got you into all this content creation stuff? Because I've always worked on cars, you know, and I've never really been interested, I guess. And he's always been the creative guy. He designs video games and all that stuff in Seattle. So I'm like, I don't really know how to answer that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think I came up with this video idea. And if I can have that video there all the time, then I can go back and look at it. You know, someone might comment. It'll be good for us, both of us, to look at that and be like, okay, this is what we're doing.
So
write
your top 5 core principles or 10 or whatever and put them up here so that you see them every time you start a podcast. These are my core principles. I'm sticking with them.
That's a good point. Heck yeah.
Yeah, definitely a good idea.
Heck yeah, guys. Awesome. So, it's been a toasty one, no doubt. Absolutely. No doubt.
Very toasty.
Do you have anything else you want to share? Did you write a book or something?
I've written a book. It's not published.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I say that because like normally you have a guest on. It's like, oh, he's going to share his book.
It's a science fiction murder mystery.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What if we publish books, dude?
Toasty Creations.
Published
books,
dude. Published
all sorts of stuff.
Anyway, that's sick, though. That's pretty cool. Facebook warrior. I ask a question every single week, and several commenters will answer the question. One lucky commenter gets a t-shirt for free sent to their house. This week's question was, where do you get most of your news, if any? Starting off with Ryan Lund, I get it from my tinfoil hat friends on YouTube.
That's funny.
Casey Russo says, all over the place. I asked him, what do you mean? Various news sources, depending on the article. If I find something I see or see clickbait or need information, I like to hunt down more than one perspective. It's hard to name just one. Even if one of my local stations that I trust talk about a topic, I still go on that little adventure. Basically, he wants to look up stuff and like it. Whatever.
That's good.
He might be on the show later. I don't know. He wants to be on the show at some point, I guess. Good. I've heard it before.
Cool.
Blaze says, Toasty Podcast.
good answer.
Yeah, I was like,
man. Answer so far.
I was like, that warms my freaking heart,
man. He gets another t-shirt.
Yeah. Cheryl says, Facebook, it's the only reliable source. And then laughing faces.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's interesting about her commenting that is that there were several that actually said it and they were serious. So let's keep going.
Ooh, yes.
Alex Jones is the next one. Jared Yielding, he bases his political views on the first thing that pops up in his feed. He's kidding. Star Telegram and some on TV, Channel 11 and Fox News. That's J.O. Miller. Brian says podcasts. So several news podcasts he listens to. That's going to be on the show. A while back, Ian said Facebook for sure. And he wasn't kidding. Anthony Cordero, various Facebook news pages. If something truly catches my eye, I look more into it on my own via Google searches and compare articles.
So it's basically just what big tech wants you to know.
Correct.
Because Google searches is very
not
specific.
Do it.
Facebook controls
all
obviously
of that.
Just...
If you're listening, Anthony, brother, dude, there's other ways to get your news, including ground news if you want to use
it. Epic Times is great Chinese news.
Great Chinese news. Todd Bukowski, generally I try to use DuckDuckGo, and if I'm interested in a political topic, particular topic, I'll read about it from all over the spectrum. New York Times, Fox, Ben Shapiro, CNN, Reason.com, Associated Press, News Nation, and as crazy as it sounds, Reddit. Most frequent sites I use are Reddit, Reason, and Shapiro. Interesting.
Nice.
I've never seen Reason.com.
Sounds well informed.
I'll have to check it out. He is well informed. He comments on every single one of our questions,
by the
way, too. Yeah. Dylan Leach, remember him?
Yeah.
Mostly Louder with Crowder.
That's cool. All right. I like that answer.
Yeah.
Cody Bland, Newsmax, and when at work, Glenn Beck, and before he died, it was Rush Limbaugh. And I said, RIP, greatest of all time, Rush Limbaugh. That's one of our most listened to episodes now, by the way.
The Rush Limbaugh one?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
He like gets traction every week for some reason. Probably because his name is in it. You know, SEO, right?
Yeah.
Brett says, Facebook. I'm surprised. David says, I enjoy the BitChute channels. It's like an unfiltered YouTube. Which is kind of like their Breitbart, I think, and some other people post on that too. Anyway, Robert says, the amount of Facebook news sources on this comment thread are worrying.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
True that.
Bobby Corley, OAN, which is what?
One
American or something like
One
that?
One American News.
One American News. Used to watch Newsmax.
Banned on YouTube.
Listen to this. After he says that, I stay completely away from biased news channels.
No such thing.
Right. It doesn't exist, first of all, and you chose One American News.
Like, literally the most biased. They're
Bobby,
like, Ron DeSantis is evil. Trump is the only guy to worship from now on.
It's a little bit, it's a little bit crazy, man.
Easy, easy.
Damon says FinViz, CNBC, and YouTube. Garrett says CNN,
YouTube.
And he's joking. Kevin said Bikini Bottom News. freaking SpongeBob, man. Formula One, Independent, Local Sources, Timcast. I got a Timcast. That's cool.
Okay.
Ruben Report, Como News, Sesame Street. Everything else is just a bunch of talking puppet heads with an entertainment script. That was funny. I was like, dude, I appreciate
that.
That's
a good response.
That's a really good response. Anyway, guys, next week we'll announce the winner of that comment thread. Thanks for joining in for that one. And as always, stay toasty.
Stay toasty, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
It was a fun time, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. TheRealSkyDay.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.